The date was December 30th, 2019, and the place was Wuhan, China. A strange new form of the flu was found. No one had seen this one before. Over the next couple of months, it began to grow at an unprecedented rate. And on March 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization announced that the COVID-19 virus was now a pandemic. Since this time, the world has changed, and it has been changing. People are watching and waiting, preparing and learning, but also people are watching to see how others are reacting. And in many parts of the world, there is a fear, there is panic. Yet other places, there is calm and peace, but they're also cautious. Many around the globe are wearing masks, practicing social distancing and protection from the virus. And as a church, we are doing our best to stay on top of the information and to act accordingly. There are many medical staff who are giving their all. And this morning, as we unpack our message for today, I see some similarities to our world today, and we'll see that Jesus was watching the people as they come into the temple to worship by means of giving. Some of the givers were wearing masks to hide from their motives, while one woman worships by giving all that she has. We're going to learn that Jesus celebrates the sacrifice of the giver. It's not the size of the gift. So let's read and continue on in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and following. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty, and in everything, all she had to live on." I spent some time this week debating about moving forward in Mark or to simply address the topic of the pandemic. And I feel that this is where we are supposed to be. I also want us to give a disclaimer. I didn't pick this passage simply to pressure anyone to give or as a means to manipulate you out of your money. Besides, we're not even taking an offering this morning. It's simply what comes next in our verse-by-verse exposition of the Gospel of Mark. Now, in order to understand the text, let me remind you of the context. Jesus, his presence in the temple began when he condemned the money changers and the sellers. And now he ends with his comments on a widow who sacrifices everything she has. Now, if you remember last week, we saw how Jesus unmasked the religious hypocrites for their focus on the eternals. They masqueraded as servants of God while they were actually servants of greed. Remember that he took to task the leaders for devouring the widow's houses in verse 40. And I wonder if this widow is one of those whom they had taken advantage of. And in this setting, The treasury was located in the court of women, which was part of the temple, where everyone could meet. Now, commentators point out that there were 13 receptacles in this area, and each was marked to indicate how the offering would be used. 9 were for what we might call tithes that were used for the temple. Well, the other 4 were for voluntary gifts and were used for the maintenance of the ministry. Things like wood, incense, temple decorations, and burnt offerings. It was assumed that no one entered the temple without tossing something into the offering. That's probably a good practice for us. When we gather to worship, we must be prepared to give something. We don't come just to get or to sit to evaluate the music and the message. We gather to give God what he deserves. And I'm reminded of Psalm 96, which says, "Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Well, not everyone can give a lot. Everyone can give a little. And I want you to notice that Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, the word "watch" does not refer to a casual glance, but it's more of a concerted gaze. It means to perceive, to look closely, to carefully and attentively and thoughtfully observe. It must have deeply grieved and angered him to see people sacrificing their hard-earned money to this wretched, apostate, corrupt system of false religion, under the misguided assumption that doing so would please God and produce a divine blessing. And since this was the Passover season, the population would have swelled by an additional 200,000 or more pilgrims making their way to the temple. Interestingly enough, the word "put" has the idea of tossing or dropping, and it's in the graphic present tense "putting." The idea is that these big givers are standing and dropping or tossing their coins in making a big racket. You see, these containers were shaped like trumpets, and they were made out of metal. The opening was large and it narrowed as it came down to the bottom. It meant that the large coins would clang as they made their way into the boxes. They were giving not for the glory of God, but for the attention of others as it went clang, 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 clang. How many points, how many coins can I put in? 1 Samuel 16 reminds us that God sees things very differently. It says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. A man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And Jesus celebrates the sacrifice of the giver, not the size of the gift. Did you notice that Jesus sees who gives? Verse 41 mentions many rich people threw in large amounts. And in verse 42, Jesus sees a poor widow. How does it make you feel to know that Jesus is watching who gives? Today, there are many options for us to give: electronically, post-dated checks, or perhaps something in the offering when you just place it in the offering when it comes by. Rest assured, I don't know who gives, but Jesus does. Many rich refer to those who are wealthy and lacking nothing. And in contrast, the widow comes not in a crowd, but as a solitary individual trying to be unnoticed by everyone. And she is unnoticed except for one person, Jesus. And the widows back then, they didn't have government assistance and pensions and all sorts of stuff like that to help them out. And Mark used the word "poor," which helps us see that she was destitute, as the word means to crouch and to cower like a beggar. And I love that Jesus sees this woman. No one is ordinary to him. He cares for the little. He cares for the least and the lost. And every human being from conception on is an image bearer of God, with great worth, value, and dignity. The fact is, in fact, in this area, we need to improve. We need to improve on at at this time of concern in our society. We must be in contact with one another, not physically, but verbally. We need to call on one another to make sure that our congregation is doing all right. I guarantee that no one can catch this virus. They will never catch it from you, and you can't catch it from them when you call someone on the phone. It's not possible. So I encourage you in this time where many are at home and in isolation and practicing social distancing to see one another. To see that we are all vulnerable and that we need encouragement. So be a giver of encouragement to one another. Be there for one another. We are all vulnerable. And Jesus sees not only who gives, but secondly, he sees what we give. Many rich people threw in large amounts, which refers to many coins of all kinds of gold and silver and copper and bronze, which would have made a lot of noise as they were tossed into the trumpets. But in contrast, the poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Also known as the widow's mite. And the word for this coin has the idea of a thin, peeled, scaled down, and light. It was the smallest coin used amongst the Jews. Two of these coins were worth 1/64th of a Roman denarii, which is a day's wage for the common laborer. 1/64th for two coins. Their value was next to nothing. They were so light that they would have made virtually no sound as they were placed into those trumpets. When you think about it, this woman had a whole host of reasons not to give. One could make the case that she couldn't afford to give any amount. If you were to ask her, she would have said that she couldn't afford not to give. And it's fascinating to me that she gave both of these coins. She could have justifiably just given one of the coins, but she gave all that she had. And Jesus sees how much we give because he is the God who sees everything. A couple years ago, a church in Charlotte, North Carolina, put on a breakfast for the homeless, and they invited them to stay and worship. And after the service, the offering counters opened up an envelope. In that envelope was a dime, a nickel, and three pennies. Included was a note. It said, "Please don't be mad. I don't have much. I'm homeless." Instead of being mad, this actually makes Jesus glad. He celebrates the sacrifice of the giver, not the size of the gift. Once again, in light of trying to navigate through these uncertain days of being a giver of your time by calling on or visiting with others in our congregation, perhaps you can help pick up groceries for someone who can't get out, or show up with a coffee for each of you. Spend time with one another while practicing social distancing. It can be done in this day and age because Jesus sees who gives and what we give, and that leads to the third thing that Jesus sees. He sees why we give. Jesus transitions to a teaching time with his disciples, calling his disciples to him. And in order to mark this moment, he says to them, "I tell you the truth." This is the translation of the Hebrew word amen. And it's often translated as verily, verily, in the old days. It has the idea of, listen up. I'm about to say something so radical that I don't want you to miss this. So verily, verily, I say to you. Let me point out that Jesus doesn't criticize those who have wealth. He is the provider of all things, and he entrusts some people with riches. The key is not how much we have, but what we do with what we have. Over the next while, church is going to struggle financially, as many of us are attempting to navigate our ways through these uncertain times. And I know that there are some who are able to give much and others who are able to give a little. The key is not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. And once Jesus has their full attention, Jesus says, this poor widow has put more in the treasury than all others. You see, this dear woman caught the eye of the most important person in the entire universe. And Jesus says that she gave more than all. Amazingly, her two thin, small copper coins were more than the sum total of all the gifts that were given that day. See, Jesus celebrates the sacrifice of the giver. It's all God's money anyways, isn't it? What they give and the attitude often starts with, don't talk to me about money. But then it moves to, how much money should I give? To, how much of God's money should I give? And hopefully it ends with, how much of God's money should I keep? It's a lot easier to hear a sermon about giving when you are giving. Giving to God is all about trusting, not just giving. You see, Jesus celebrates the sacrifice of the giver. He sees who gives. He sees what we give. He sees why we give. But there's one more thing that Jesus notices. Jesus sees how we live. There's a story about a chicken and a pig, and I guarantee you this is not real. But a chicken and a pig were walking down the road one day together, and they came across a sign in front of a building that said, annual fundraiser, ham and egg breakfast. Well, the chicken saw it and said to the pig, hey, that's right up our alley. Why don't we go in and help out? To which the pig replied, that's easy for you to say. For you, it's a contribution. For me, it's total commitment. Are you just making a contribution, or are you ready to make a total commitment to Christ? God is not looking for contributors. He's calling for committers. And Jesus explains that the widow, her giving came out of how she was living. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Those with much gave quite a bit. The widow had little, but she gave it all. She didn't just put in two small copper coins, she put in everything. It's not the portion, but the proportion that matters to God. The wealthy, they made contributions while the widow demonstrated total commitment. And as far as monetary value, she gave very little, but the Lord measures giving by our motive, by our means, and how much we have left. You see, according to 1 Chronicles, you know that book we always go to when it talks about money, First Chronicles chapter 29 verse 5, it says our giving comes out of how we are living. Our contribution flows from our consecration. When it says these words, who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? The question is not so much what I am giving, but rather how am I living? When we surrender to the Lord, the little we give is a lot when giving to the Lord. God can do great things when we offer the little that we have. Many of us believe that the key question is how much should we give? But we must understand and discover this important truth. A faithful reading of the scripture leads us not to the question of how much should I give? Rather, it leads to the question, how much do I need to keep? And flipping the question this way is countercultural even in this church. I am convinced by the scriptures that God loves us so much. He wants the best for us, and he knows we thrive when we give ourselves away. And thus he calls us to be givers, not donors, but radically all-in givers, givers of ourselves, not so that we are noticed as generous, as a generous person, but as givers of ourselves for the glory of God, givers of our time, of our efforts, our conversations, and our means to help those around us. We don't give in order to get, and we don't give thinking that we'll earn God's favor. Rather, because of God's grace, we offer back to him what is his anyways. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says this, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This woman didn't give because she was paying dues, fulfilling her duty, or giving towards her debt. She gave because it was her delight to give. Our view of God determines everything else about us. If we consider him weighty, we will live and give accordingly. If we see God as out to get us, then we'll be afraid and we'll give only to appease his anger. And if we don't think much of God at all, well, chances are we're not going to give at all. Even with the uncertainty of this world today, we must live in this manner. As we see uncertainty of our workplaces, as the uncertainty of our health, or even when we'll be able to meet again as a church body, we must not stop giving. And I'm speaking about giving of our finances, but even more so, we must be giving of ourselves. So I must encourage you today to start giving of yourself on a regular basis. If you can call just one person a week, or even better, one person a day, to encourage them in their walk with Christ, I suspect that you will find yourself encouraged as well. If you don't already start tithing, both financially and of your time, give online or by mail, drop off your giving in the church, but start tithing of your time with others. Some have so much time on your hands, you don't know what to do with yourself. Call, meet, or just leave a message of encouragement on someone's social media. Connect with one person. Connect with one another in some form while the world demands that we social distance ourselves. Now is not the time to be selfish. We need to be respectful and reach out to one another. Beyond all of this, we need to be in prayer. spend time praying for our world, for those who are on the front lines, for those who are being let go of from their jobs, for those who are stuck at home. Begin praying now to see how God wants each of us to give above and beyond at this time of struggle. The widow gave her all. Jesus, he gave his all. And we are being watched by God. Will you be like the mighty poor widow who gave it all? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege it is to be your children. We thank you for the incredible blessings that you give us each and every day. And we recognize that even though we feel like we don't have much, we are very rich. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths of your word, that we would begin to give, not just financially, but that we would give of ourselves, that we would reach out and communicate and visit and talk with and encourage one another as a body of Christ in these uncertain days. May we not just stop with others within the body of Christ, but that we would reach out to our neighbors and our friends and those who are around us who are scared, who do not know you. May we be the light to this world at this time. Give us the strength and the courage to be that light for you, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.